Alrighty, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you enjoyed your summer away. Hope you enjoyed all the miles and miles and things that you did and do. And I'm glad that you, like I, avoided this Florida heat over the past 10 weeks and are ready to gear down now back here in Orlando. Yeah? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. A door speaks for you all as he closes his eyes and murmurs to himself. We have tried a great many things in ministry history, and the Bible gives us all sorts of authority to try many things, not knowing whether this will work or that will work, and seeing what bears fruit and what season has called for what. And we've had mixed results. A lot of times we'll focus on the things that do not work, but if you review ministry history, you'll find a lot of things that are in place now that are really fruitful and really do work and are very effective ways and productive ways of ministering the gospel to disciples and to non-disciples. But I want to try to take, I've longed to take you on a voyage with me into the core of the scriptures, into the core of the truth, into the area where just the temperature alone will burn off the things that may make you stumble day after day. And I've just not gotten great results in getting people to take that voyage with me. So I'm going to try and put some things in place today, particularly one thing in place today, that I hope will at least enable those with the heart and the mind to do it, to come travel with me into the depths of the Bible, for I'm just a total wretched, lunatic, loser person who actually lives the deep truths of the Scriptures, enjoys seeing the Bible come to life, and Satan is constantly on the sidelines, waiting for a more opportune time while constantly throwing some bait out to see if there's any indication that the time is now. And you can have that life. It is, I believe, the life that Jesus had, that Satan treated Jesus the same way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to look at one sentence in one verse. As you come voyage with me, our title today is Ask Me. Not so hard, huh? Ask Me. I'm not sure everybody understands the changes that have been made in the ministry that were sent by letter while I was on the road. But I am undertaking overseeing the entire ministry with the assignments that I laid out in that letter. And take your shot while you got it that you can ask me if you have a question. And many have jumped forward and done that. In verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says, to the disciples, as I say to the disciples, you are looking only on the surface of things. On to say other things, but I'm going to stop there. You are looking only on the surface of things. I know the time will have to come when the amen that Jesus spoke in the book of Revelation throughout his ministry is sought after, gotten, and spoken by some man, disciple, other than me. That day is going to have to come. We are not there yet. And I have tried with the evangelists to try, as they did in the Bible, to minister in a way, but the message is not getting from the evangelists to those they lead. It's just not getting through. And in many ways, I think it's because the evangelists and the disciples are looking only on the surface of things. And that after we get beneath the surface, my goodness, we got under the surface and we found an opinion about. We found an idea of men about. We found a selfishness about. We found a worldliness under the surface. And it's just not getting through. And so, your opportunity will be to ask me anything that you may understand beneath the surface why we do what we do, why we don't do what we do. In Romans chapter 11, Paul writes about the nourishing sap of Jesus, the nourishing sap of the Bible, the nourishing sap of the truth. It is my hope, my goal has long been and still is to get you hooked up to the nourishing sap of the Bible, that it may feed you, comfort you, gird you up, strengthen you, and build you as it has for me. And I just tell you, it's done it for me. I know lockdown guarantee it would do it for you if I could get you to it. Clearly, we are not too big to do what we're going to do, and we're going to get beneath the surface, and you're going to have to ask, though. We're going to look at a couple of situations in the Bible that are lethal if you don't ask. Look in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. In the sweltering heat and the humidity, we may not even take forever today. How delightful would that be? I'll probably have to do this for a while. I also just, hey, there's much to say and much to be gotten to and much more there. Just hang in there. We can't do everything at once. Prove faithful. God will take note and you will get everything eventually. But we can't go over everything today. We're just going to start with this. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 5 to verse 8. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. The disciples discussed this among themselves and said, it is because we didn't bring any bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, you of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? All right? Item by item. Verse 5. Now before this, Jesus has been busy contending with, dealing with, rebuking, and fighting his way through the thicket of the Pharisees and Sadducees, who are now false teachers, given that the New Testament is coming. And the disciples really don't have anything to do other than observe and maybe take care of the food. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. That's the situation. A lot of times we will forget things, and on the surface of things, we think of it as the disciples probably thought of it. Well, we just forgot. My goal and ambition for you is to get beneath the surface as to why what goes on goes on. How in the world did you forget? Why did you forget? What is the mechanism by which you forgot? What in the world do you have in place to see to it that you do what must be done? Anything? It's like, oh, I forgot that scripture. Oh, I forgot that message. Oh, I forgot about that. I lost that. But the disciples, even in Matthew 16, which is pretty moving along through the Bible, more than halfway through Jesus' deal, are forgetful. Jesus is addressing a far different matter in verse 6. Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Stop for a moment. Just bear with me. On verse 6, you're going to like do a little message in a message, kind of like picture in picture for those of you who are into that sort of thing. Guilty laughter abounds. Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Okay. Bear with me while I do message in a message, all right? Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Be careful. Some of us have wound our lives so tight and are running lives that are wound so tight with so much to do that it is impossible to be careful. It is near impossible to be thoughtful, considerate, careful, deliberate. It's just nearly impossible. I share this with you in wanting you to have the nursing staff that I have. The fact that I see most vehicles have an accelerator that you rarely have to floor, right? It's like, oh, it's got a lot of juice we'll never use. Some of you won't ever use. Foster's going to giggle about that now, since he giggled about picture in picture. But it's a guilty day for Foster. We'll be at his house to make fun of him later. But you don't use the entire accelerator. You use part of it. And sometimes you don't need all the gears in the car. You just need some of them. By far, I'm the worst of sinners. The brothers are getting that dose by dose. There's more doses coming. Prepare yourselves. Maybe not today and maybe not tonight, but ultimately, hang in there, brothers. But I'll tell you this. My spiritual life is like that. I have gears I can go get if I need them. I have acceleration room that I can go get if I need it. But many of you I see backs to 10 on the gears, 10 on the floorboard, smoke coming out of your ears, overwhelmed, forgetful, maxed out. And it's like, what if more was needed? More! Can't somebody do something? Right? That's right. Now I'm mad. The Bible, Jesus says to his disciples, who've been following him for better than a year and a half at this point, be careful. If you don't have a life where you can live the scripture, be careful, you need to shoot elements of your life, destroy them, say, these just can't happen, we're not spending resources on these, because I've got to live the Bible. So at a very important time spiritually for the disciples, Jesus says, be careful, Jesus said to them, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Be on your guard. You got to be ready. You can't be maxed out, tired, worn out, ready for a nap. Be on your guard, standing at the ready, knowing I'm flaming arrow coming in the rear view mirror, 4 miles back. Boy, I can see it. It's just got that little glow of fire on it, doesn't it? Yeah, here it comes. And you guys are like, what? Oh, I dozed off a while. What happened? Honey, what happened? Yeah. Honey, what happened? That's beautiful. Be careful. Be on your guard. Honey's on my guard. Be on your guard against the yeast. Yeast, that's not very visible. Right. Yeast is rather invisible. Yeast is very hard to detect. See how you're going to have to scale down? I know your beautiful paneled house live. You have to scale down that beautiful paneled house, Haggai 1:9 live, that you've been building and neglecting the house of the Lord to get to a point where you can liberate the resources it takes for you to be careful, to be on your guard against yeast that cannot even be seen, that is coming at you by Pharisees and Sadducees who are Satan's greatest weapons because they know a little more scriptures than you do, and Satan is going to use them to come after you, and you're going to be sharp and on your guard and careful and with it and powerful and build up to withstand it. Let it be a rebuke to you today. If you don't have Matthew 16:6 down, to where you're not sitting there realizing on the floorboard of your spiritual life, you got all kinds of options. You got plenty of accelerator left. You need an 800th gear, it's available. It's the red button. Boy, you need it, you hit it, and it works! Maxed out, sweating, barely getting by. Let it be a rebuke to you. If you do not possess and cannot proclaim as Jesus did, Matthew 16:6, when it comes to the way things ought to be, and I'm pretty sure that I'm the only brother in that column. And I'm looking for another one who is more serious about what the scriptures say and what Jesus says than your great plans that may give you something eventually. And it comes probably from the fact that people look at my life and assume how my life, in a worldly way, got to where it is. And those assumptions are wrong and superficial. But you could ask if you wanted to, but you some already know the answer, and it is a distasteful one. And 5 years of chili and rice and chicken livers and 5 years of, hey, with or without God, we're in, is not an attitude you can jump on board with. And so you have to go to plan B, which is a wipeout, exhausted, meandering, paneled house construction project that gets more expensive as it goes along, and you'll never have enough to pay for it. Done with my message and message. Wear that verse home. Ladies, help your husband get this verse. It must be the case. Things got to be shot, killed, thrown away, put away. They just got to go. If you can't do this, now you can handle great projects and you can handle all kinds of things if you do this. But if this is not first and the foundation, you're serving you, and God knows it, I know it, and now you know it. Now, that's pretty important what Jesus shared. Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. We could go on for an hour on that. Go home full. Woo! I got a lot of work to do. We went over a whole verse today. Oh, I'm full. We could do that. It is filling. And the disciples completely missed it. As many of us who look on the surface of things completely miss things. Their response to the message that they need to be careful, be on their own guard against the invisible yeast of practiced men at falsehood, is verse 7. In response to the message, verse 7, they discussed this among themselves. Well, what do you think, Bartholomew? Well, I don't know, Thaddeus. What do you think? Well, Peter? James? Well, I think when he said that, yeah, well, cool. All right. They discussed it among themselves. No need to ask Jesus what he meant. And said, it is because we didn't bring any bread. That's why Jesus is going on with this yeast stuff. Wow. Wow. They discussed Jesus' message to them among themselves, leaving Jesus out, because it's a lot more convenient to leave Jesus out because he might say what he really meant. And they came to the conclusion that the reason Jesus has gone on about this is because, you know, Jesus is just hungry and upset they didn't bring food. But, you know, he'll calm down and we'll try not to forget next time. Wow! That's amazing. See, I think some in our number believe that the call for you to have health insurance has to do with the fact that we wouldn't want anyone to get sick. Sick schmick. I hope we all get sick. It's a delightful thing. Has nothing to do with that. Oh, yeah, but I got my checkup, too. I'm not going to be sick. Do you think that I teach you to have health insurance so that you'll be nice and healthy and not die? Because I don't. I'm aware that I teach what I teach, and people, well-meaning brothers, will take it and run with it. Woo! Woo! I mean, you've never seen them go so fast. Gone! And then discuss with another brother, well, you know, we need to get that health insurance thing taken care of. Yeah, I know, brother. Well, what about that? How important is that? Well, you know, at all costs, I think that's what we do here. This is what the ministry does, you know. And why does the ministry do that? It's just what we do, so let's get that handled. Why don't you do the old million-yard dash back to me and find out? Same with life insurance and, you know, not spending every penny you make and stuff like that, you know. But anyway, they discussed this among themselves and said it is because we didn't bring any bread. And they have completely missed it. And on the surface of things, they think Jesus' rant about being careful and for them to be on their guard and for them to watch out for invisible yeast and to be able to handle these muckety-mucks in robes, Pharisees and Sadducees, has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that Jesus is a little bit hungry, irritated, frustrated, and mad, but not honest to say it. And I've had that too. Are you mad at us, brother? I love you. I've not been mad at you. If I was mad at you, I'd say, well, let's all start by me saying, I hate you guys. You know, we'd start with that. But no, I'm all good with you, and we don't have to start with that. I'm actually saying what I'm saying, and Jesus was saying what he was saying. And something that happens that must stop is brothers and sisters discuss matters among themselves and do not involve the person who taught it. And because you do not involve the person who taught it, and because you've been looking on the surface of things, you don't know what's really going on and why the ministry does what it does and doesn't do what it doesn't do, why things are the way they are, and what is scripturally underneath that that goes in almost all cases through the core of the earth. Deep conviction that even weak character Thessalonians have. And you never know that because you discussed the matter with someone who didn't teach it. Or you didn't ask them, who taught you this so I can go find out what really happened? And you're like the disciples, rebukable and dull, halfway, more than halfway through the gig. Fortunately, see, this doesn't happen in all cases, but fortunately in this one, verse 8, Jesus was aware of their discussion. And Jesus asked, you have little faith. Why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? You of little faith. Look, I long for all each of you to be able to get on the rocket sled, the bobsled, the luge, whatever you want to call it, of the Bible. Strap yourself in or don't, it's all right, and run down the slopes of the unlivable. But you of little faith are a little afraid sometimes to really find out what's going on and what the call really is. Because, brother, I'm just not going to do that. PK, do I have to do that? King's like, oh, I don't know. I just hang out with David. Thank you, KK. You've been helpful. I've been open. Then KK says, David, so-and-so called me today. It was a little strange. Uh-oh. David's calling me. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, you of little faith. I want you really to find out what's going on and be humble and honest about what you're going to do about it. You of little faith is no problem here as it was no problem here, but we will call it what it is. You who are weak in faith or of little account in the church is no problem in the Bible or here. But we're going to have to finally uncover it beneath the surface and find out what we really got going on, right? And we're going to have to see people for who they really are and where they really are. And no more shenanigans behind the curtains and all this. You of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves? There are three rebukes here. You of little faith, it's like, hey, just come clean and admit, boy, that's too much for me. My faith is such that I can't do that. Rebuke number one, I am of little faith. And maybe I ought to be of more, but that's where I'm at. But the truth will set you free. It's fine. Hey, I can bear with that. Just don't give me darkness, but I can bear with little faith. That's no problem at all. Historically, the Bible, no problem. Hey, the weak are indispensable. We got to have the people of little faith. All accommodation will be made for them. If that's not happening for you, ask me why, and we'll just run a blazing fire trail through the people giving you trouble. That ought to ease it up a bit. So you a little faith. Got to come clean. Why are you talking among yourselves? Homework for you. Good. You can start tonight. I'll call for it tonight. But this is from today until I stop breathing. Which, TikTok, TikTok. What questions do you have of me? Just list them as you go through your week, through your day, whatever. I don't know, a pad of paper. Questions for Trent. Please. Because I join Jesus in rebuking conversations among yourselves that do not get beneath the surface as to what's really happening. And it's possible for you to know. Phil is doing the ministry a great service in that on the same day that the Spirit prompted me to say, look, the ministry's just got to ask questions. The ministry's just got to ask me questions. Phil sends out a question. Like, I'm sure there's got to be some good reason, some biblical, scriptural reason that you went around in circles. On the same day, I'm like, aha! I got a live one. And it's not easy. I know when I ask Aurelis a million questions, you know, it's not easy. You don't know where these questions are coming from, and or you don't know where they're coming from and where that's leading me, and it's not easy. It's exactly how the disciples felt a lot. It is a spiritual trouble, and you need to see it as a spiritual battle like lust. Because the disciples were often afraid to ask Jesus questions. You can look it up. They were afraid to ask Jesus questions. They were afraid to get rebuked or corrected or look stupid. They were afraid of what the answer might be, and it might be too much. They were afraid. And Satan choked them right there. And some of us are being choked right there. We have questions, and Satan has come and has got around your neck like a serpent. He's like, no! And you're like, all right, I won't ask. Satan's like, you're right, you won't ask. I'm going to ask. I won't ask. No. Did you have a question? No. Mega list. An enduring, living, active list. Find out. Women, you get to participate here. Yes. There we will sit on a Saturday evening with 411 questions from the ladies, and then one brother wanted to know if we were going to start basketball again, and one other brother wanted to know if we were going to eat the rest of the food or start packing it up. It's all right. Brothers, you can do better than that. But talking among yourselves and not understanding why the ministry does what it does has got to come to an end. So when the ministry is public and someone has to account for something, they can do it. And they won't mix like a bright idea and a superficial understanding that the Sadducees eat for lunch. Why are you talking among yourselves? That must come to an end about having no bread, which is completely not the issue. You completely missed the message. For you and your sake, much of what has been written and much of what has been said, a lot has been recorded, that you can go back and get understanding where you thought I was talking about bread and being mad at you, and you can find out what was really going on. And maybe you missed it. He's singing. He's a classic. No, leave him alone. You're going to mess him up. Jump ahead to Acts chapter 19. Phil is doing the ministry a great service in asking questions. And many times when Jesus was asked a question, he asked a question in return. Yeesh. Many times when Jesus was asked a question, he changed the subject. It's a lot of options, you know. Hang in there, ask anyway. Phil's not done yet. He's still going strong. He backpedaled a little bit. We're going to get him back on the bike. Get him motoring forward up those mountains. Acts chapter 19. So example number one, that Jesus' disciples in their own life were hesitant to ask questions. They were hesitant to really find out. They were hesitant to get too involved because they lacked faith. They were more comfortable with each other. And they just were superficial people. This is brutal in Acts 19. We're going to read verses 13 and 16. Here we go. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, "Oops, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, the seven sons of Sceva, and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. You know it's gone on a long time. People are trying to watch their tongues lately, but are their hearts really being watched? Right? For I'm not the only one who says, "I'm the worst of sinners." Some of you come up on Joe Blow and the world, "Oh, well, you know, Joe, I'm worst of sinners, so you don't have to worry about me judging you." Now, you heard me say that. And now you said it, thinking you can play that on Joe Blow and Albertsons. And the beating you've been taking since then is reminiscent of Acts 19:16? Yeah. Some of you have said, "I have the best life in the history of lives." Well, I know I've said that. And then like a mockingbird, "Well, I have the best life in the history of lives." You've said it. Some of you have said, "All my needs are met in the cross." I'm checking you out right now, and I'm just doubting that completely. And you said that because you heard me say that. And who takes the beating, me or you? Verse 13. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Notice that they went around driving out evil spirits and tried, the Bible says, they tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus. Really, again, I mean, I feel like, big trucks have these flips and switches. You run out of gas, you just hit a switch and you got, I don't know, another 100 gallons. Just must be nice. We could really make some hay if we had one of those. But, you just hit buttons when you need them, you know? You're in the big truck, flip, another 100 gallons, that's good. Oh, crank it down, we got 7% incline. We need to get down, we got an exit ramp. We lose our brakes, we'll just ride up on the gravel. And we got all kinds of whatever we need. You know, bad drivers swirling in and out. We can lock up the truck, not kill them. All right, good stuff. You know, just all sorts of buttons and switches and flippers and stuff. The fact is, though, your stuff doesn't work. You bought it at the junkyard out of old beat-up Buick, tried to slap some stuff on the wall, and, yeah, look at all this, these gauges. That gauge ever get off zero? Well, it doesn't really work, but sure, it looks interesting, doesn't it? Yeah, boop. You know, you hit a button, flip a switch, turn a knob, nothing. I'm telling you, I'm really wretched, but I know that whatever happens, I've got like 25 buttons, 52 switches, an infinite amount of levers and knobs I can turn, twitch, hit, switch, push to flat, make that problem not be a problem. I mean, maybe I'm crazy. I picture that under the White House is like an underground world. It's probably not the case, you know. Probably all the government's money is being spent on stupid stuff. But I envision that Under the White House is a fortified city that this thing is flat. You could live in it. Room for a million. You drop the president down there, you're up rolling, repopulate the earth, boom, get on a mini plane, fly to Mars. That's already been set up. You know, I'm just imagining that as we sit here and twiddle our thumbs, like, that somebody somewhere is, in a worldly way, because we're not going to do this, but in a worldly way is like fortifying the fact that nuclear war probably eventually happened. It's probably going to get really ugly eventually. The earth will fall apart and someone's got to stay alive. And those efforts being made. That's probably not the case at all. Probably the only thing under the White House is a tunnel to Congress to, you know, veto and then walk back. But I just think that it could be like that. And I'll tell you, for me, I mean, I'm not just sitting around, yeah, you know, I have the same convictions I had 5 years ago, and la, 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 come on, catch up to me 5 years ago. I mean, I do have that underground city I talk about in my spiritual life, fortified in every way that I can get out of any situation with buttons the Bible has provided, the Holy Spirit has provided, switches, options for anything. And yet, many of us are like, phew, whew, maxed up, you know, reverberation, boy, you might want to get the alignment check, no time. And it's like, you don't look like a very fortified disciple to me. It looks like you go at any moment. Looks like we call a timeout, the bills wouldn't get paid, you'd have to move, and so you got to run it like this because you can't afford like a moment's time out. And that's how I picture people who try to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus. Like anything that comes along. I mean, Jesus isn't spot mopping that thing right away. At the same time, while it's being mopped, the suffering in it is delightful. Nope and nope. Not delightful and no spot mopper. All right, mop up, but no time. Some Jews went around driving out evil spirits, tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus. And if your life is unfortified, it's really hard to invoke the incredible options the Bible gives you to deal with all of the flaming arrows that Satan throws in Ephesians 6. And extinguish them. See, that's a beautiful thing. Wow, close one! Wow, that house! You see it go up? Wow! No. Extinguish. Nothing went up in flames, right? Oh, well, sometimes got lucky I dodged them today. You know, I'll let you mull that over as you try to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus. I expect Jesus to put those flames out. Though revealing of me, they are to go out. And they are to lay on the ground nicely and loosely as evidence of the fact that God is alive and that the name of Jesus can be invoked and does work. And that by all rights, I'm toast. But amazingly, with that option, I'm not toast. These people would say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. And that's a bummer. But that's what's going on here. Yes. We snicker. Those people. Yes. When you've become religious, you begin to read the Bible and snicker at the others that the Bible is written about. But come with me and realize that this is written of you. They would say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I want you to join me in what is preached here. I want you to join me in what is taught and why it is taught here. I want you to know, understand, and participate in what is going on here. And no longer just to mimic what you hear or mimic the party line that you heard for four, five generations down the spiritual lines and settled for, well, that's just the way we do things here. Apparently TV's bad. But you have to get cable. If you watch TV, you have to confess it. But if you don't have cable, You need to get it. I'm just going to go get with the brothers and try to stay in the dark. Right? Isn't that weird? People are getting houses that they can host the ministry, but Trent says we don't need any of that. We have far too many resources with no place to spend them, but there's so many people in need. Right? And if I was to give you a quiz, explain this in totality, it'd be like, right? So let's end the quiz and just ask me. Okay? I'm the one responsible for most of this mess, right? Let's get down to it. Trent, what mess have you created? Or, oh, wow, let me join you in knowing how to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus and what's really going on underneath the White House of the Bible. If you ask questions, somebody's going to learn something. You can also ask questions of other people. Please do it in the presence of all of us. It'd be great and instructive. That way you don't violate Matthew 16 and sit there discussing among yourselves and conclude something that's absolutely as wrong as it's all along been, right? And stop quoting me when you don't know why I say what I say. Because verse 14, seven sons of Sceva, Jewish chief priests, were doing this. All right? And you're one of them. One day the evil spirit answered them.
Whoa, I haven't seen this before. Help!
The evil spirit had something to say. Rather than... The spirit stood upright in a very straightforward, audible voice, said, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? That's the end of a sentence with a question mark, and now it's your turn to answer.
I have the best life of this life. I'm the worst of sinners. Little boo mama. See you on Tuesday. I'm not mad at you. I love you. What else does that guy say?
Am I not free? Born of God. The dumbest person on earth. Are you so dull?
Who are we? Who are you? Who to be?
Rip Diddley. One day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know and I know about Paul, but who are you? That's a beautiful time to kick Satan in the teeth, to deal with the demons, and to demonstrate with the Spirit's power who you are in Jesus. A great time to demonstrate what's really going on and who you are, but you get revealed for what you really are as a mere little mimic, a little mockingbird, a little mimic, a little copycat. Satan knows who's who, and he calls you out. You know, I mean, amen. You know, Jamie shared Indiana, and we all learn a lot of things in the world that are very, very powerful. I think that's one of the things that encourages Jeff, is that Jeff really didn't walk around timid in the world, so he knows that the world isn't it. But for those of us who walked around timid in the world, maybe if we walked around big and bad in the world's got something. But Jeff knows that's not the truth, because he didn't. So we learn a lot in the world that's very useful in the kingdom. I remember I was in third grade when we got my dog, Muffer. I don't know if I've told you about Muffer, but Sharif loves Muffer already. Muffer eventually lived to be 17 and three-quarter years old. Muffer was a big dog, about three, four times the size of Xena. And I remember I disciplined Muffer. And Muffer answered me. And I'm like, Colin. So I have this German Shepherd, Collie, Husky, a Alaskan mixed dog baring its teeth at me for disciplining it. And I throttled Muffer, and we didn't have an issue again. But it was game time. You showing me your teeth? You are a dog, and you're showing me your teeth? Now, remember, I'm younger than Colin. And I'm convicted that, no, this doesn't work with me disciplining you and you baring your teeth at me and me not knowing who I am. I dealt with Muffer, and we had a good 17 and a half years after that. You need to deal with Satan similarly, because he's baring his teeth at you, and you're like, oh, ooh, ooh. Have to come up with another way on that one. Right? There you are. Well, that didn't work. Yeah, terms of peace with Satan. Mark your life. One day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus, I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Let him answer. Something to say? Send you packing. I'll see you again way down the road. Yeah, come on over. Well, they were nobody. They were nobody in Jesus. They were nobody in God. They did not have the truth. They invoked something that was not theirs. They were revealed to be empty and hollow. They were revealed not to be deeply convicted. Who are you? Somebody who's not a disciple of Jesus with my own convictions, who can stand on the scriptures and defeat Satan, is who I am. Verse 16, then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them. That's a wild scene. And overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. You get jumped on and you get overpowered. Much has been preached over the years and years and years and years. It kind of all comes together here today. And I got to get you up and out of this if you're willing. Now, hey, you'll have choices. It'll all be good and it'll be what it'll be. And I love you regardless. You can hang out and be weak. A little count in the ministry, no problem. You'll be in the Bible. Congratulations. You'll at least be able to say that. Who am I, Satan? I'm the one of little account in the church. Let me show you who that is. But I'm in the church. You got something to say about it? Satan might find you too hot to handle. It's possible. You'd at least be in the Bible. At least know where you are. You wouldn't be murmuring my words. Phony. But you get overpowered. That's what I want you to see. A lot of you are trying to do things and, you know, I'm going to let you handle the specifics in your own heart and your own life. A lot of us trying to do a lot of things and just not powerful enough to do it. Trying to lead people, but not powerful enough to do it. Trying to change things, but not powerful enough to do it. Not powerful enough to change it and change it for good. Not powerful enough to proclaim it, clearly and powerfully and see to it. Not powerful enough, not energetic enough, not enough to see to it that it doesn't change. It always kind of dissipates. And as you get overpowered, you relate to Acts 19:16. And it leaves you living the Bible to the extent Satan will allow you. It leaves you living the Bible to the extent that Satan's good with, which is that good old awful compromised Bible, isn't it? The man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating. Some of us have taken such a beating at the hands of Satan. We should just come clean with, hey, I want to confess that I have taken such a beating. Hey, that's in the Bible. Cool. And we would know that that happened because you could not invoke the name of the Lord Jesus on your behalf. And that we're probably going to have to get you with a little better footing than that to be able to pull that off. But he gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Man, what a service God allowed Satan to do to reveal these people and who they were and what they were. Naked and bleeding, in possession of nothing. I've gone from having the best life in the history of lives, hope you don't call me on that one, to not even having clothes. Running out of the house. Bleeding. And here's the thing. Some of us so quickly make a deal with Satan that, hey, we're not even going to get into that. It's like, all right, fine, I just won't address honey on this. Fine, I just won't talk to this brother about this. All right, I'll do what they tell me at work.
that Satan's like, all right, no need to beat you to a pulp to where you're naked and bleeding. You're like, cool, 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 cool. So you come here all clothed and no blood. But if you didn't compromise your gig to Satan's liking, shrink back, you would be naked and bleeding. You would be on the run. You'd have a more honest picture of yourself today. You're going to have to account for that battle going on with you, the Acts 19, 13 to 16 battle. I think you need to account for that. Count to yourself first. Might take a little while, but don't let it go. Wives, really need you here. The boys will forget by nightfall. So, wives, account for your battle and help your husband account for his battle in this and how this is going and where they are in terms of these four verses. Because you're either going to destroy Satan, he's going to destroy you, or you're going to work out a deal. Three options. Most of you are deal brokers. You broker and seal and sign your own deals. That way nobody knows about it. All in the name of, well, you know, it's just too much. Wouldn't want to upset so-and-so and, you know, things like that. Acts 26. Afraid to ask Jesus. These sons of Sceva could have sought Paul out. We got to find this Paul and see if he can show us this Jesus that he sees. That's a long way to find Paul, and we don't even know where he is, and why don't we just try to do what Paul does? You can ask Paul and have what he had. In Acts 26, as Paul is on trial, as he's trying to make disciples, Paul replies to King Agrippa in verse 29. One verse. Paul replied, short time or long, I pray God that not only you, King Agrippa, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am except for these chains. Paul under chains, under lock, under guard, and on trial. Short time or long. It's beautiful. I'm telling you, it's no trouble to me. Short time or long. Brother, you've been around for 22 years in the ministry. That might be relevant, but don't worry. If I'm still going, I'm good with that. Short, brother, you've been around 2 months. Whoa, get out of your way. Woo. Short time or long. I pray, God, that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am. You know, I pray to God that you may know what's going on here. That you may know what's going on in the Bible. That you may know what is available. That you may know the depths of your heart and your mind. And I'll even settle at this point for you to know your heart like I know my heart. That you know your mind like I know my mind. It'd be awfully humbling and powerful for you to know it so. And my appeal is Paul's appeal. That you may become what I am, except for these chains. I expect it to go brutally, pretty badly for me down the road. I'm not wishing that on you. But I'm wishing on you the opportunity, the buttons and whistles and the bells to be able to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus to flat deal with anything that comes your way. That you do it powerfully, minister over the top of it, not so you can stay alive and enjoy your health insurance, but that you might actually serve a God that you loved one day and may still today. And I'm going to make great efforts to help you become what I am. But your participation in it is going to have to be a constant barrage, non-stop. My goodness, why won't this brother or sister be quiet? Set of questions you have for me. All right? Questions are always welcome. Because clearly,
Clearly, it's not understood yet. And it can be. And it's free and available and easy. And now I can sit in the Arellis chair. Wow, I think Jamie's digging in his sock. What kind of questions he's got in there? Sharp ones. But it has to be. I want you to ask me because I want you to get a real answer. I want you to ask me so that you're not off teaching people something that you think is the deal when it isn't the deal, and then you're just running down. I'll tell you, we're going to get to the conduct list later. You know, I'll call for him. Mila jumped the gun. That prompted what happens in boat racing all the time. That prompted LaShawn to jump the gun. You get these people coming up to the start line way too early, way too early. People get nervous. Like, are my timing marks up? I think my timing marks are up. I'm going for it. And there's Mila jumping the gun. There goes LaShawn jumping the gun. And everybody else is still legal. Nice, nice. Stay legal. In boat racing, at least 11 of you would have gone over. So stay legal. I'll call for it when I want it. Thanks, Mila and LaShawn. Yeah. We'll get to the conduct list eventually. But the conduct list comes from this fact. And this is why the Bible's so powerful. In many ways, I just resolved that, hey, I would like to prepare things in a particular way that the truth can be known, lived, loved, seen without me. And fortunately, the Bible's already written, and so that's fully available without me. That's what I had to resolve. Because I cannot keep up with the teachings of men, right? Can you? I can't keep up with the perversions of the truth, the distortions of the truth, the yeast, the inventions of men. We invent ways of doing evil. I'm like, wow, that's like a marathon start, right? The marathon starts, woof. Now, get these people. So, I can't keep up with the perversions and distortions of the truth and the inventions and all that stuff and the traditions and teachings of men that go out. But for those who really want to know, I'm going to avail the opportunity for you to have a real shot at it. And maybe that'll be preserved in some format and go out from there that people may actually know things. And the conduct list will help that as well. As God sets up rules for his house, and we kind of grapple with what those rules are and know what they are and why they are, will be a great benefit to the ministry today and the ministry going forward in how we ought to conduct ourselves in God's household. And God calls us to it, and so that's what that's all about. You get to participate in it, and we need every body part. And I'll be calling on the elbow and the ear and everything else. You know, I'm like the voice box. And the head tells me, voice box, holler it out, get an elbow. Foster, you got an elbow, we got to have you here. What about the money thing? What she says, is that true? That's how we're going to function. Going to function like a body. So if you came here with your speaker's list availability, sorry. Things are going to change. But it'll be good and everyone will participate. In the meantime, ask me. I just so much want you to have the meager stuff I have. It's plenty powerful. You can hit the gas from there and go off. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together with the ministry, Father. Thank you for an incredible last 10 weeks or so. In addition to the eternity before that and the eternity after today. We thank you for that, Father. I love the ministry, Father. The ministry is always on my heart. And I thank you for that, Father, that you just press them on my heart very, very constantly. And wrestling for them pretty much wall to wall all the time. I pray, Father, that my brothers and sisters feel likewise, wall to wall every day. Father, it's great to get together and laugh. It's great to get together and cry. It's great to get together and realize your word and your truth. Father, thank you for this day, the nice breeze going through and everything else. Father, we thank you for the people visiting with us and the brothers and sisters. We pray for a great night tonight. I pray we're overflowing with gratitude on all occasions. In Jesus' name, amen.